Welcome today as we talk about something really important and also something really practical, and that is it's time to manage your schedule. It's time to manage your schedule. And this is part of a series I'm doing right now called Now is the Time to Let God Use You. And if God is going to use you, you've got to manage your time. I mean, time is so important, and properly managing it is so critical to being used of God. So I want to welcome you to this message. I'm excited about sharing it with you. And when you think about, you know, time management, it's so beneficial. I like to put it this way. It helps life to be less stressful, okay, less stressful, but also more successful, less stressful, more successful. And by success, I'm not talking about a worldly definition. I'm talking about a heavenly definition, and that is being successful in the eyes of God, which means doing His will, okay, carrying out His will. So if you want a life that's less stressful and more successful, learn how to manage your time. And I want to talk to you about that today from the Word of God. And today we're going to be looking here in Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 17. Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 17. Now, as we look at this, remember the purpose of the sermon and this series, it's all about significance. It's all about meeting one of your deepest needs, and that is the need for a significant life. I mean, God has put within all of us a need for living a life that has meaning and purpose, a life that makes a difference, a life that makes a difference. And if you're going to live a life of significance, your schedule is very, very important. And the good news is the Bible talks about time management. The Bible is a very practical book in so many ways, including it teaches us how to manage our time. And one of the key passages for that is Ephesians 5, 8 through 17. And what we're going to do today is we're literally going to go through this passage. But right now I want to read what I call the key verse. And that's Ephesians 5, verse 8. Here the Bible says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Let me read that again to you. All right, now as I read it, remember, we're doing in this series six what I call now passages. Passages in the Bible that actually tell us, do it now. And here's one of those passages. Ephesians 5:8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Now, what we're going to learn today is, you know, God has given us that now command, and God's going to teach us here the application of walking as children of light actually is time management. Okay, one of the key areas of walking as children of light is that you manage your time as a child who's walking in light. Now, as we're looking at this, I want to draw a connection between that whole idea of letting God use you and time management. And I want to give it to you in a little pithy statement, and here's the statement. Your schedule determines your availability for being used by God. So what's the connection about being used by God and your schedule? The key word is availability. Availability. You see, when you manage your time for God, you make yourself available to be used by God. And one of my pet statements is the greatest ability is availability. And I've said that many, many times. And it's something we should never forget, because we can get so involved in all these different abilities, but quite honestly, if you're not available, so what, okay? And as a pastor, I can tell you, I see this going on a regular basis. People have lots of ability, but the issue is, are they willing to make it available, okay? Until you make it available and have availability, honestly, it doesn't matter what you can do, okay? And so your schedule says to God, God, I'm available. I'm available. So with that in mind, let's talk today about how to manage your schedule. How to manage your schedule. And again, we're going to go right through Ephesians 5, verse 8 through verse 17. And we start with this. Evaluate your time. Evaluate your time. So one of the things you should always be doing is analyzing your time. And that's something that, you know, we ought to do on a regular basis, right? And we begin in Ephesians 5, 8, where it says, and this is our key verse, we've already read it twice, let me read it one more time. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So it talks about our life before Christ, and then in Christ, and after Christ. And before Jesus, we walked in darkness, right? We walked in sin. But when we come to Jesus, the light of the Lord, all right, when we're saved, our walk should be different. And we should no longer be walking in darkness, but we should be walking as children of light. And so this passage goes on to say, you know, what that looks like. In other words, it adds a little meat to that idea of walking as children of light. And I want to use the following verses to ask you two questions to analyze. The first one is, are you doing what is acceptable to the Lord? Are you doing what is acceptable to the Lord? Because in Ephesians 5:10, right after 5:8, it says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So people that walk as children of light are finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And so the bottom line is, later I'm going to talk about that you have to design a unique schedule that is tailor-made based on God's will for your life. And we all have to do that. And one of the things we have to say is what I'm doing right now acceptable to the Lord? In other words, how am I using my time? Is my time acceptable to the Lord? I mean, is it? I mean, would you say, you know, and again, none of us are perfect in this area, but as a general rule, as a general trend in your life, can you analyze your time today and say, you know what, you know, overall, yes, what I'm doing with my time is acceptable to the Lord. And is there anything that's not acceptable to the Lord? Are you doing anything that's not acceptable to Him? It's not His will. It's contrary to His word. Hey, that's a no-no, right? With time management, we have to, you know, fix that. We have to solve that. A second question from this passage, verse 11 of Ephesians 5: are you fellowshipping with unfruitful works of darkness? Are you fellowshipping with unfruitful works of darkness? Listen to what Ephesians 5:11 says. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We need to look at our schedule and say, okay, am I fellowshipping with unfruitful works of darkness? Am I spending my time on things that are just really not fruitful, okay? Things that are just really not right in my life. Evaluate your time. Evaluate your time. Just look at how you're using your time and say, okay, is this time management true of a person who wants to walk as a child of light? Number two, value your time. Value your time. Ephesians 5:15a says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So we are not to be fools in our time management. We're to be wise. And what that verse says to me, you know, the overall thing I get from that verse is time is valuable. Time is valuable. And value your time. See, time is something very, very valuable. And there's three things that make time so valuable. Number one, time is the great equalizer. Time is the great equalizer. And what I mean by that is we all have 168 hours per week. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter, you know, what position you have in life. It doesn't matter, okay? Whether you're the president of the United States or whether you're whatever, it doesn't matter, okay? You got 168 hours in a week. It's the great equalizer. Everybody has the same amount of it. Value it, okay? It's a limited resource. Value it. Number two, time is the most valuable resource. It's the most valuable. And what I mean by that is time is more valuable than money because, listen, you can get more money, but you can't get more time. Now, I'm not saying it's good to waste your money, all right, just to be clear. But the point is, if I do waste some money, I can pretty much go make some more money, right? If I waste 50 bucks, you know, not a good thing to do, not recommending it at all, okay, because we're to be good stewards of our money too. But the point is, you can go make another $50. But if you waste your time, you can't make up more time, okay? It's gone, and it's gone forever. So it's a most valuable resource. So value it, okay, like that. Number three, time is an act of stewardship. All right, so I just mentioned that word stewardship about money, but we're also stewards of our time. And the idea of stewardship is managing what belongs to God, right? And I like to call this the time management prayer, the time management prayer. And as a steward, pray this: God, what is the best use of my time right now? God, what is the best use of my time right now? Because we're constantly having to make choices, right? So invite God into your schedule and say, God, you know, what is the best use of my time right now? And you know what that does? That what we pray about, obviously we value, right? I mean, probably nothing more expresses our value system than our prayer life, right? And we pray about the things that we value, right? So value your time. Walk in wisdom. Don't be a fool with your time. Number three, maximize your time. Maximize your time. Ephesians 5:15b says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Maximize your time. You know, make the most of your life by making the most of your time. I mean, time is life, right? And life is time. So you want to make the most of your life? Make the most of your time. And that's what this verse is saying when it uses the word redeeming. What in the world does that word mean? Well, it's a market term that means purchase completely. Purchase completely. God is saying redeem the time. Make the most of your time. Purchase it completely. In other words, get the most you can out of your time. And in fact, that's repeated also in Colossians 4:5. It says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom toward those that are outside, meaning outside of the faith, redeeming the time. Make the most of your time. God doesn't just say it once. God says it twice. God says it twice in His Word. And so what it's really all about is we should strive to use our time to completely purchase what I would call heavenly reward. So really what we're talking about is walking in wisdom. Wisdom is to see things from an eternal perspective. A fool, a biblical definition of a fool is the person that only sees things short-term or earthly. In other words, a foolish person with their time only thinks about this earth. They only live for the things of this earth. And like if it feels good, that's what they're going to do or whatever. Where a wise person sees their schedule from an eternal perspective. And the idea here is to maximize your time to maximize your eternal reward. 2 John 8 puts it this way. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. See that word full? It says, look to yourselves. Look to yourselves so you don't lose those things we work for, but rather receive a full reward. So one day we'll get to heaven and God's going to reward us, and it ought to be your goal. It's certainly my goal to get a full reward, all right? And this is what I get excited about. When we get that reward, the crowns or whatever we get, you know, we're not going to like hold them up and shout and say, woo, I got this one. You didn't get that one or whatever. It won't be that at all. We will literally, the Bible says, lay them at the feet of Jesus because he's the only one that's truly worthy. And you know what? I want to have a lot to lay at his feet. I mean, I truly do. And if that's going to happen, I got to manage my time. And so that means you have to avoid time wasters. You know, look at your schedule. Are you wasting time? 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And so it's using that idea of the military, right? And how, you know, when you're in the military, I've never been in the military, but I've known a lot of people that have been. I mean, the whole idea there is, you know, you have clear direction, right? And clear responsibility. And the whole idea is to please your authority or whatever. And it says here, you know, we're not to get entangled in the things of this life, but rather focus our attention on pleasing him. And so that means don't waste your time. And one waste of time, Luke 8:14, Jesus said, is this. Now the one that fell among thorns are those who, when they had heard, go out and are choked, listen, with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. And one of the biggest things in this culture we're so blessed, aren't we? We have so many pleasures of this life, right? I know it's stressful and anxiety's high and all that stuff, but the truth is nobody's ever lived with more pleasures than this generation, right? And we can get so caught up in those things, you know, and we have to be very careful, okay? Not to live for just the pleasures of this life, but that we're willing to deny ourselves sometimes and be willing to do the hard stuff that God might call us to do. So how to manage your schedule, evaluate your time, value your time, maximize your time, and now the rubber hits the road, so to speak here. Balance your time. Balance your time. Ephesians 5:17 says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So the balance for all of us is to understand the will of God. You see, you must tailor make your schedule to accomplish God's unique will for you. Let me say that again. You must tailor make your schedule to accomplish God's unique will for you. You see, here's the bottom line. Listen to me. Every one of us are going to have a different schedule because every one of us have a different will of God to live out. All right? So you have to tailor make your schedule to do God's will for your life. Now, I want to get real practical. Okay, are you ready? I want to get real practical. And I want to tell you one of the biggest ways I manage my schedule. And that is I think big rocks versus little rocks. I didn't make this up. I don't remember where I heard it, but it was many years ago. And it transformed my life, all right? And I've lived by it. And I've tried to teach, you know, I've taught my family this. I've tried to teach everybody I can this idea. So think in terms of big rocks and little rocks. And I want to give you an illustration of it. Okay, I got it set up right here, okay? An illustration. So I have two different containers here. All right? So container A, let's say container B. All right? So there's two different ways to live. So life has a lot coming at us, right? And I'm going to call this sand, all right? The sand of life, all right? And life comes at us, and we can easily let our lives be filled up with sand, right? And let's call it the pleasures of life or whatever, all right? Things that really aren't going to make any eternal difference, all right? And along the way, we might do a few good things or whatever, and I'll put some little rocks in here, okay, just because it's not like we're not doing anything good overall. But we got these little rocks that we are doing and things like that. But overall, we're just continuing to, you know, live our lives with sand and not living according to, you know, the things that God wants us to do, not doing his will. And so what happens is when we live that way, when it comes to the big rocks of life, and I'm going to tell you what I think the big rocks are, the problem is we can't fit them in, all right? We can't fit in the big rocks of life because of what? We filled up our life with things that don't really matter, you know? Things that are not walking as children of light, where we fellowship with darkness, we don't do what's acceptable to God, and we fill our lives up with these things. That is not the way to live your life, all right? That is not the way to live your life. Let me tell you what I do and what I recommend you do. And that is you have to live your life according to priorities, right? You have to live your life according to priorities. And the only way you're going to get your big rocks done is you got to prioritize them, all right? You got to prioritize them. So looking at our outline, and hopefully you have, you know, one of the outlines. If you don't, I'll go over it, okay? So I call it big rock number one, all right? So big rock number one, I'm going to explain these in just a bit, is God, all right? So you want to make sure you get that in your life. And what I mean by that, I'll explain, is having a private time of worship where you have what I call a quiet time each day. All right, I'll explain that in a second. And then secondly, make sure you have a weekly public time of worship. And what I mean by that is come to church, okay? Come to church. So you got to get those big rocks in there, right? You got to get those big rocks in there. And along the way, no doubt you'll probably pick up some little rocks or whatever that will come along, you know, things, because none of us are perfect in time management, right? All right? So that's just being real. That's just being real. All right, the second big rock is family. Your family. And make sure you're keeping that as a big rock. And that would be your wife, or that would be your children, you know, your parents or whatever. And listen, some of you are single adults, you're not married. You got to live like Jesus lived. Jesus made time for relationships, all right? He had time with, you know, his friends like Lazarus and Mary and Martha and things like that. Even though he wasn't a married man, he still made some time for relationships. So you still got to put that in your life as a big rock, all right? And then the third one is job or school, okay? Job or school. We got to make sure we get that in there because God expects us to work. And maybe our work right now is going to school. So we got to do a good job in that area, all right? And then another one is ministry. And that's using your spiritual gifts. And our series, if you're tracking with our series, last week we talked about the idea of using your spiritual gifts. And that's a big rock. And then yes, 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 you got to have time for yourself. And time for yourself is a big rock, okay? Self-care is a big rock. And so you make sure you get those things in, all right, in your life. And then as you go through life, again, nobody's perfect. None of us are perfect. All right, let's be real. We're gonna have some sand in our time, more than likely, okay? But the difference is it fits around, all right, the big rocks. It fits around the big rocks. And that way, you know, we're getting the most important things done, right? We're getting the most important things accomplished. So which one of these best describes your life? What do you think, okay? Are you having a hard time getting your priorities done because you know they're just not fitting into your life because you're not making any time for them, right? You're just wasting your time. Or does this describe you, all right? Make it your goal for this to be true. You got to balance your time to live this kind of life. So with that in mind, let's just go through rather quickly and review what these big rocks look like. Again, you must tailor make your schedule to accomplish God's unique will for you. So the first big rock is God. Now I know God is in everything, right? I mean, you know, there's nothing secular for a Christian. God's part of your work. He's part of your school. He's part of your self-care. He's part of everything. But what I mean by God here is worship. And I'm talking about two forms of worship. One is schedule time for private worship. I call this quiet time with God. And basically a quiet time is a daily appointment with God where you do two things, okay, the word and prayer. This can be 5 minutes. It can be 50 minutes. I don't know, okay, what's going on in your life. But you do take some time. Honestly, even 5 minutes of really focused time in the Bible and prayer can make a difference, all right? Hopefully you can do more, okay? But even that will make a big difference, all right? Even that will make a big difference. And this is the highest priority. Jesus said in Luke 10, 41 through 42, here's Jesus, by the way, hanging out with his friends, Mary and Martha, and a guy named Lazarus. And we see him, you know, he had a lot of what I call professional relationships, you know, the disciples, and I think they were kind of friends too. But honestly, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they, quite frankly, they're more friends than they are like professional relationships, all right? And here he is hanging out with them, so to speak. He's over at their house, and Martha, she's in the kitchen, you know, banging around pots probably, fixing food, which is great, okay? It's great, all right? It's good, all right? But the Bible says here, I should say Mary is the one that's sitting at the feet of Jesus here. And here it says, Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried about and troubled about many things. So Martha sticks her head out and says, hey, I'm in here working so hard in this kitchen, and there's old sister, my sister there, Martha, Mary, I'm getting my names all confused here, Mary, she's just sitting at your feet, Jesus. She's just sitting at your feet. And here's what Jesus says. Hey, Martha, you're worried, you're troubled about a lot of things. And isn't that true of life? But he says of Mary, Mary, she's chosen the one thing that's needed. But one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Is Jesus saying the other things of life aren't important? No. I think what he's saying is priority. Priority. Make sure you do the one needful thing. Make sure you have that time of worship, that private time. And then schedule time for public worship. And what I'm talking about here is go to church. Okay, go to church. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Start your week right. Sunday's the first day of the week. Get your week started right. Show up for church. Big rock number two is family. Family. Schedule time for your spouse. The Bible says live joyfully with the wife whom you love. Take time, you know, have date nights and things like that. Schedule time for your children. Jesus says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the whole idea is to teach your children to love the Lord. And in Deuteronomy 6, 7, it says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. What are we to teach diligently? Love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And notice what he says here. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. It's kind of hard to, you know, talk about loving God sitting in your house if you're never in your house, right? So you got to take time for your kids to, you know, talk about God and loving God, and it's natural, right? You just do it as you go. As you're sitting in your house, you're walking by the way, when you're lying down, when you're getting up, just your love for God is just who you are, right? Who you are. And then I would say schedule time for your parents. And maybe I'm a little more sensitive to this right now because last several years, my brother and I have shared care for our parents, and my mom has now passed away, but my dad's still alive. And just making time, you know, like I try to see my dad, you know, I like to go once a week. I don't always make it, but for sure every 2 weeks. And just taking time for your parents or maybe your grandparents or whatever. The idea here is family. And again, I want to mention, I can't mention it enough. If you're not married or don't have kids or whatever, I don't know your family structure, okay? But I'm just telling you, really big rock number two is relationships. Relationships. Take time to build some relationships, whether you're single or married. And then big rock number three is job or school. Because the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. So don't ever, you know, apologize for having a great work ethic, a strong work ethic. That's a big rock. God expects us to work. And he says, listen, if you don't work, hey, forget about eating, right? Forget about eating. So make sure you're doing a good job. And many of you are students. That's your work right now, going to school. And make sure you're doing your best in school. And then big rock number four is ministry. Ministry. Take time to use your spiritual gifts. You know, serve weekly, I would say. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And then I want to close with this. Big rock number five is self. Self. In Mark 6:31, puts it this way. He said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And Jesus made it clear that self-care is a big rock. And this passage is so clear. Jesus is having so much to deal with. The disciples with him have so much to deal with. It says many were coming and going. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, hey guys, listen, let's come aside. He says, we haven't had time to eat yet, okay? We just got to stop here and we got to take care of ourselves a bit, all right? And notice the whole to-do list wasn't finished. If you're waiting to take care of yourself and everything's finished, you're never going to do it, right? I mean, no doubt people were here that need to be saved. Many were coming and going. Some of them probably need to be saved. Some of them need to be healed. They were sick or whatever. I mean, some of them need to be ministered to. And Jesus literally walked away from that, okay, because he understood the importance of self-care. So the idea is to find balance. And the thing is, you got to pray, okay, because some rocks are bigger at other times than other rocks. In other words, life isn't that simple, right? Sometimes, you know, you're going to have times where you got to put in extra time at work, right? I mean, just the situation demands it, right? Sometimes you need to spend more time with your family, right? You know, take a few days off or whatever, you know. That becomes a bigger rock for that period of time. The point is you got to navigate all that and find balance. But make sure you're getting those big rocks in and don't live your life for sand. Listen, you want God to use you, your availability, okay? And you know what your availability looks like? Your schedule. So make sure now is the time to manage your schedule.